Hey guys, you're watching the Burden of Truth After Show. This is Season 1, Episode 6, Devil in the Dessert. And so is the case closed? Or, I mean, problem solved? I don't really know. So we're going to be talking about it. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I just want the laser beams right now.
I know. And the red, I want the red latex. That's what I want.
I want
Wait,
all
no,
of it.
That's a different
that's
one.
That's Oops, I did it
that's
again.
Oops, damn.
Yeah. This one, she has like the flight attendant outfit,
yeah.
And then all the like glitter bedazzles,
right,
and jewels.
Right. Oh yes, the glitter. Glitter's yeah. All me.
Toxic is my favorite Britney Spears song.
Ooh.
I mean, she has a lot of good ones, Ooh. But this one, it's because of the laser beams. This scene right here.
Probably. Oh, I like Slave for You. Slave for Me, Slave for You, Slave for You. That
one was when she kind of changed her image.
Yeah, she was getting dirtier. But anyways, guys, sorry, welcome. I am your host, Paris Rose. Who is my lovely co-host right here?
Hey guys, I'm Mina, and we are back after a week
yes.
hiatus.
Yeah. I know, we missed you guys. We wanted to get to the bottom of this. And I don't know if we did, though. I don't know if this episode got us any closer.
I feel like we had a week break, and then this episode was a repetition of last week's episode.
Yeah.
Kind of easing us into next week's episode.
Right.
It was very much the same exact story arc.
Yeah.
Like, there's a problem. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Yes.
There's someone else driving a truck. Who is he? Same yeah. thing. Literally
I
the
know.
Same exact plot. With one twist at the end, I'm just going to abandon this case. It's literally the exact same episode as every single episode.
No, and I really wanted answers. So I'm just like you were saying, there's an attack, the townspeople don't like them, but I feel like they did introduce something a little bit new.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. but we'll get into that. We will.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I was saying, I am your host, Paris Rose.
Yes, and I'm Mina, and thank you so much for tuning in, guys.
Yeah, and keep letting us know what your predictions are. There were a few people who tweeted me that, I mean, I think they're just going far off because they were saying things like, I feel just like everyone is going to die at the end, and that's fine. Play with the predictions, you know. It's fun.
I think everyone will die at the end if there's no season two. Like, if
maybe.
There's no season two, maybe.
Yeah. It was really funny and entertaining reading those predictions, though.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe Luna's behind it all. It's been great.
You know who? Yeah, honestly, who knows? Who knows? I was saying last week it could be something, or I was saying 2 weeks ago, it could be something totally ridiculous where it's the
yeah.
police officer.
Yeah.
Little do we know, there's like an inside man.
Exactly. I thought that was really funny because last week we were kind of hard on it maybe being the police officer.
Yeah.
And now we see his partner is actually the shady one, and he's really trying to get answers. So it's not the police officer, but it was fun to speculate. But I was going to say the thing that kind of I thought about for the first time this episode was, did they jump too quickly into thinking it was these toxins in the barrels? Because now that they bring up this Steve Magnus suicide,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think that's, I really don't think it's this whole trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is. But I realize, should they have tried to look for more possibilities other than jumping quickly to the obvious toxins in the barrels?
Always, 100% always, when you work in the legal field,
yeah.
you never just set your sights on one yeah. cause. And you always have to remember that correlation does not equal causation.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. So there was a pivotal scene where they're saying, you know, like, this was during the interrogation, we'll get to that later, but they're trying to, like, equate what happened to
yeah.
the passing of someone else. Just because it happened around the same time or afterwards,
yeah.
that could be pure coincidence.
Exactly.
Causation is not correlation. It's one of the first things you learn in any sort of statistics course or, like, critical thinking course when you're trying to deduct what has happened in a situation.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree that they need to look at every potential outcome
yeah.
and not just jump to one. But it seemed like the toxins, that was, like, the obvious clue. But also, you know, there's no way this Magnus guy is the reason because
no.
then every single, that doesn't explain, like, the other cases at all.
Right.
He wasn't in touch with all of the people exhibiting this sort of twitching habit.
But so they were saying he's the star athlete, and I guess for Molly, she's an athlete, so that's where they can go. One was dating him. But again, that doesn't work for everyone. Mm-hmm. But also the barrels don't work for everyone on the field because not all the girls were on the field. Mm-hmm. So I think now I'm thinking both of them can be disproved. So they should have, maybe Joanna's so thorough. I feel like she actually should have looked for more possibilities.
Or maybe it's something that's contagious and the cause was something from the field, like a toxin. And because someone interacted with someone else and they carried that, like, specific virus, they were able to pass it on to someone else. Who knows? Like,
we don't know.
We gotta get another doctor in here, not just Dr. Calvin Williams. We need more medical expertise.
We do. So how did you feel about the doctor and the whole conversion disorder?
Let's talk about conversion disorder first. Can you explain what that is to
me? Oh, man.
I feel like you're the one who knows. Like, you have, like, a lowdown on what this is, and you can help me understand the whole concept that everything is in your head and, you know, the mind is such a powerful thing and it allows us to exhibit behaviors, but we can rewire our brain to exhibit new behaviors.
Yeah, Samina's saying that I'm, like, the expert, even though I'm not. It's just that I have someone close to me that has been diagnosed with conversion disorder. Mm-hmm. And it was from a trauma that he experienced. And he wasn't getting twitches, as I was telling you. He wasn't getting twitches, but he started to, like, feel numbness in his body. At one point, he felt like he couldn't even walk, that he was paralyzed, even though we brought him to many doctors. And he was not paralyzed. Like, everything was fine. And so we went to a few therapists, and it ended up being several therapists said it was his conversion disorder, which is really just this trauma. I can't really go into details about this person's trauma, but it affected him mentally, where it acted out in his body. And the therapist goes into a more scientific reason why that is, and you're like, the neurosystem, but I'm terrible with explaining that.
So whatever part in the brain controls movement, that's the area that's affected, is going to cause you to not be able to be immobile in those areas.
Right. It's like a almost like a chemical imbalance, honestly. And there's really no medicine that can help. What helped this friend of mine was a psychotherapy and hypnosis, kind of these different abnormal types of therapy that really helped. And now he actually is better. But it ended up really being all in his head, no actual physical or medical problems. So
yeah, and I think that's so interesting that it's like our reality, like we can shape our reality in whatever way, you know, the way we choose to observe certain things. Yeah. Like our brain is so powerful that we can rewire it to think about the world in a different way. How crazy is that, that your brain is that powerful to have the ability for your brain to even think about itself? Like, fact that our brain can think about our brain is just insane to me.
I mean, what do they say? We only use like 4% of our brain or something like really crazy like that.
10%.
And it's like the rest is super unexplored. It's like the ocean or something. We only see like a certain part and the rest we don't understand. But even like in a smaller...
That's how I feel about this episode.
Honestly, yeah. This episode was just on the surface. I was a little disappointed because we were saying how great it is. We're like finally into it. I thought there was a momentum and then it just dropped back down.
But you know, the thing is, the weird thing is I found it really hard to get through the first half of the episode. But once that first half was done, then I was like, okay, I can kind of get through this now. I think there was just like that initial hump where I was like, really? Yeah. Like this is the same formula again and again. And so my interest wasn't captured until the scene where there's like this interrogation and then...
Right.
I kind of, like, glossed over the Luna scene because it was just very, it felt very formulaic. Like,
Luna and the, which part? With Joanna?
When she finds out that she's Joanna's sister and she didn't.
Right.
Like, all of that was just super predictable and not interesting. But there were parts in the episode where I was like, okay, you've got my interest. Yeah. This is really good. This actually feels like a legal show now.
Yeah.
And I really loved parts of it.
Well, actually, going back to the Joanna and Luna, I know you said you, like, skimmed over it, but I actually was a little confused because I thought Joanna didn't really want to open the letter, and even Luna opened it. And so was the result saying that they're sisters? How did Luna even know? I mean, does it say names on the paper?
That's the part that I was, like, trying to understand. Like when she's going in the drawer and, like, taking it out. And then she's like, all of a sudden,
what did she see?
Just by looking at it, she's like, Joanna's my sister. Like, I literally wanted to be like
Joanna Hanley and Luna, our sister.
Yeah,
the way she read it was just like, It shouldn't, DNA results shouldn't say that. It should probably be like X and Y. It's kind of more,
I literally feel like there's no way you could look at something for 2 seconds and be like, now I know the truth. Yeah. Like, can't.
And then Joanna said, don't tell me. So, like Luna was like, oh, you know, she puts a letter down, and Joanna's like, please don't tell me, because then it'll be true. And I'm like, so what's on the letter then? If Joanna has a letter, and I'm just so confused with that whole thing. So is Joanna accepting that Luna's her sister? Is she still trying to, you know, not believe it? I don't get it.
All we need to know is that the information that she got from the letter said that they were related and they were sisters. Yeah. And that's all we really know from the following scene where she's talking to, I forgot her name.
Molly.
Oh my gosh. Talking to Molly and saying, like, I can't believe she didn't tell me. I can't believe she hid this from me. Like, all of it is so predictable. Yeah. Get out of here. Like, just give me something a little bit more real and raw and authentic. But I feel like it was still a necessary scene. Like, you need to have it resolved in some way where she's venting and talking about it. Who else is she going to talk about it with? Molly.
I really didn't like the way that scene played out. I didn't think it was predictable. I mean, I knew she was eventually going to find out, and probably I didn't think Joanna was going to tell her. But I didn't think it was... I really didn't like how it was handled. Joanna still never really accepted it with her, and I wanted them to, like, actually talk about it and get to the bottom also of her dad and what that actually means. Like, that means her dad was a pedophile. Is Luna even realizing that? Luna's still mad at her own mom. When Luna has to realize, wait, my mom was 15 when this happened, and she was with a grown man. I wanted all that to, like, come about.
Yeah, it just, I
but
don't
know. But it didn't. It just...
It was complicated.
Yeah.
But you know what's not complicated? Subscribing to AfterBuzz TV.
That is not complicated.
It is so easy.
That is so easy.
It's so easy, you guys. So, you know, our network actually produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. Not just this show. Like, literally almost any show you could possibly think of, we got you covered. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve TV fans. But you guys, we seriously need your help. We're asking you for a very small favor, and trust me, it'll pay off in the end. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those notifications, just ignore them. You don't even, they're totally optional. You don't even have to get notifications when you subscribe. So hit that subscribe button right now, you guys. Go to AfterBuzz TV on YouTube, hit the subscribe button now. And check out our other AfterBuzz shows and our other AfterBuzz channels as well. So let us know you did that in the comment section below so we can shout you out next week. And definitely leave a comment for us. And for now, thank you so much for being the best fans ever and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. We really appreciate it.
Yes, do it now. And if they like CW shows, I am super... I'm kind of embarrassed, but I'm a big fan of Riverdale. That's starting up, and we do have an after show for that. So check it out. I love Riverdale.
Is it crazy that my favorite CW show no longer exists? It's Smallville.
It is.
Smallville is literally the best CW show ever, and I think I'm just so emotionally attached to it.
Are you excited to see Kristen Kruick? I don't know how you pronounce the last name.
Kruick, maybe? Yeah. I think, honestly, she is stunning, and it's so nice to see her in a lead role, because in Smallville she kind of played the love interest, and it's just nice to see her finally kind of in that lead role as, like, an empowered woman.
Right.
So
that is cool to see.
That's nice. It's, like, a nice change for sure.
I wasn't the biggest Smallville fan, but I do love, I just love the actress Kristen, so I think she's beautiful. It makes it easy to...
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, easy on the eyes, so.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, let's get back into this. So you were talking about the interrogation scene a little bit before, and that's kind of what pulled you in?
Yeah, I mean, the interrogation scene, definitely. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. Just the way you see how, like, lawyers frame questions and how, in a lot of ways, you can lead someone to say, to answer something in a certain way in, like, that high-pressure environment and get the answer that you want and have it build a story that's not representative of the actual facts. Yeah. So I feel like it's very easy if you are a skillful lawyer, if you're really good at asking questions, to get whatever story you want. And we see that from journalists. We see it from lawyers. We see it from
detectives,
even people who construct stats for a living. Like, if you look at statistics, there's always two sides to every story. So
that's very true.
Like, you can frame things in whatever way you want, and people need to realize that the truth can be constructed in so many different ways, in a way that can really shape your opinion about something.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous. Like, the fact that your opinion is so heavily reliant on how something is presented. And it was just so interesting to watch Joanna in her element interrogating Molly and really being like, okay, like, you know, are you being fed these answers? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And kind of seeing the disintegration between her and her partner. Like, how come you guys aren't on the same page with this? What's going on?
Honestly, them not being on the same page, I really did love Joanna just taking charge. I love that interrogation with Molly. She was being a little intense. Not a little. She was being intense, but I thought it was necessary. What bothered me is, I get it, Billy is the sweet guy and Joanna is this force, but they need to, like, present a more united front when they're actually, in court. Like, even before, in the courtroom with Alan, and Billy was like, I want to take the stand. I want to be the main, I don't know what it's called.
Oh my gosh, I should have gone to law school for this.
But the main guy talking, okay?
Yeah.
He wanted to do it, and she's like, here, handing him notes in the most aggressive way. She'd be like, like, I just really thought that looked so childish and tacky. And so I just want them to become more united. Even if one has to fake it, if one has to be a little bit nicer, one has to be more aggressive, they need to be more united.
It weakens their argument in
a
way. If they're not on the same page, but they're on the same side of the case, it just makes it seem like you don't have your facts together. Mm. What are you presenting?
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is like one of the like stereotypical hurdles that they're going to overcome in
hopefully
next week's episode. But one of my, on another note, one of my favorite quotes with this whole thing, because, you know, she was talking to Molly and saying, like, is it because you think you can be cured that you're on the doctor side? One of the quotes that really stood out to me was when, I believe this was Luna, actually, that said, or Molly that said, would you follow the devil to water if you were dying of thirst?
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting question. So, Paris, would you follow the devil to water?
I actually asked myself that question after, and would I follow the devil? How would I? Would I know it's the devil? Like, if they, is it, you know, like an illusion? Okay. So I know it's the devil, and I'm dying of thirst. I probably would follow that devil. I am terrified of death. So if I thought I was going to die, I think I would follow the devil.
Of course, you gotta do what you gotta do.
I don't want to die. I know. I think so. What would you do? If you're dying of thirst, would you follow the devil?
I would ask the devil where the water is and then think about it.
Oh, I didn't know we had all those options.
This is your world.
I thought it was follow, no follow.
This is your world. It is whatever you want it to be.
And that, I would beat the devil up and, like,
I would get
eat
the,
him.
Huh? I would get the water and then I'd be like, thank you. And then I'd have the devil drink the water. And then after the devil drinks the water, then I'll drink it.
Well, I didn't know we had all this. I didn't know we had all this time.
That could be like that scene in Princess Bride where they both drink it and one of them is immune to the liquid and then the other one dies. So I don't know.
But I did like that question she posed. It had me like,
That was such a good question.
Yeah.
See, this is what I'm talking about. The show definitely does have like some great qualities. There are some gems in there. It's just they need to condense the show into a 30-minute show, I think. Or if you're going to, like, make another episode, don't have it be like all the other ones.
Yeah.
Because 2 weeks ago, the episode was great. It was a great departure from what we've seen.
I feel like nothing was revealed. I mean, did we learn anything new in this? Other than it could be the conversion disorder?
I think the conversion disorder was huge.
Yeah.
And also the introduction of Steve Magnus as a new character that plays a pivotal role. And to bring someone in that doesn't have the ability to defend himself because he's dead is absolutely brilliant, because you can frame that in whatever way you want. He can't speak for himself.
Yeah.
So,
I suppose that is some, but it's nothing new. I wanted to get a little further along, but actually we're further behind now in the case because the case is a dud, it seems.
Who's telling the truth? Who do you think is telling, or are they all? Who's telling the lies?
Oh my gosh. That was always hard. That was hard for me. Could you guys tell? Was the doctor telling the truth? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's really hard to differentiate between truths and lies.
That is true, especially with the burden of truth. This is why I feel like it's time to get into our two truths and a lie. You
for
know
sure,
what? We gotta mix it up. We gotta throw it in there. Are you ready? Production, can we have our two truths and a lie music?
Dun dun dun.
Ooh, that chilling music.
I love it. I feel
it's like it's like cold.
This is like a Forensic Files episode. Yeah. I'm into it. I'm here for this.
I like that. All right, so we had we gave you three bizarre court cases last 2 weeks ago. So Mina's going to remind you because I don't remember and I don't know if you guys do. So take it away.
Okay, so from what I remember, last week I gave you two truths, one lie. One of the stories I told you about, you can reference the other video, was about Pokemon Go and how someone had this huge lawsuit because they were on the Santa Monica Pier trying to collect their Pokemon. They tripped, fell, were unable to carry out the job functions of their everyday career, and therefore missed out on a huge amount of money, and they were suing for, I can't remember the amount, $100,000, perhaps more. The other story was about a celebrity lookalike who looked exactly like Michael Jordan, actually, who was suffering from people bothering him because they thought he was Michael Jordan, so he also sued for a specific amount of money. And then the third story was about a guy who was, like, possessed by the number 666, and then he sawed off his arm when the doctor wanted to replace his arm and, like, sever his hand back on there. He refused and then sued because he said he himself was not in the right state of mind and the doctor should have insisted to sew his arm or his hand back on. So now that you guys are, like, I'm, like, jogging your memory again, the lie was actually the one that I made up about the Pokemon Go story. The other two were, in fact, the truth.
Who guessed that? Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
I was wrong. I thought definitely the 666 and the sewing of the arm, and that seemed like something out of, like, what is that? Like, let's play a game.
Saw,
yeah.
Saw, for
I'm like,
sure.
Oh, she saw too many times. That's made up.
Yeah.
So I was wrong.
And
let me know.
Those two truths were very ridiculous. So
they were.
I purposely made the Pokemon Go one a little bit more
exactly
subtle. I was gonna say he fell off the pier and drowned. I was like, that's like too much. So
I would have believed that. I would have believed that one. All right, so we got. I don't know. Let me guys know if you guys guessed that. If you did, you're incredible. We've got three new bizarre court cases for you. So the first one is: are you guys listening? All right. So there's a man from New York who is suing Subway, the restaurant, for $1 million after biting into a sandwich and finding a filthy plastic knife. He's suing because he claims he got food poisoning from the knife. I know, but this is so believable because Subway, I eat there, but...
Where was the knife where you would have gotten food poisoning?
It was in the sandwich. Oh, right. I don't know.
Okay. I don't even... I'm, like, disgusted right now.
I hope you're not eating Subway right now, guys. The next one is: a man sued magicians David Blaine and David Copperfield for using godly powers to do their tricks. He demanded they reveal his tricks or they suffer a $100,000 suit for stealing his powers. Get this, guys. This man believes he is God, so they are stealing his godly powers.
Mm-hmm.
So bizarre.
That definitely sounds like the truth. I don't know why.
And the last one is: a woman is suing her local carnival after becoming severely dizzy and sick after a Ferris wheel ride. She claims there was no signs warning that she can get motion sickness, and she is suing $25,000 for emotional trauma. So we've got three. We've got the knife in the sandwich from Subway. We have got the magician who believes he's God and these magicians stole his godly powers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got the girl who got sick on a Ferris wheel ride and didn't think and wants to sue because there were no warning signs. So what do you think? Just guess.
I definitely think that number two is the truth because it was way too specific.
Okay.
It was too specific. I don't know.
The lie?
That's hard. I don't know.
You think the magicians is real? So there's a Subway sandwich, and then there's the Ferris wheel.
They're both super believable because people sue for anything
these
days.
Yes, they do.
I think you made up number one, though, but we'll find out next week.
We will find out next week. Oh, I love this stuff. Guys, let me know what you think. It's so fun. It's a fun game. And I want to know. I want to trick you guys. All right. Anyways, let's get
I just
back
can't
into
imagine
it.
A knife, a plastic knife getting into a sandwich, but there's also been like fingers in sandwiches.
There's been a whole chicken head that was in KFC chicken. A whole chicken head that was fried, but it was the whole with the beak and everything. That happened in my hometown in Connecticut.
I'd pay extra for that.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding.
It was so disgusting. Ugh. So I believe anything.
Yeah. Let me know. At this point, nothing is ridiculous.
All right, so let's get back into this, though. So now we're left with deciding if this doctor is telling the truth or not. Should Joanna be set on it being the toxins in the barrels? Is Molly right for wanting this to be over and possibly having a cure to her twitching? Like, that's where we are right now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you had the choice between being cured of your twitches or getting $10 million, which would you choose?
$10 million.
Really?
That torture's not that bad.
Okay.
It's not terrible. People have worse. I'll just cry with my $10 million about my twitching. And probably with my $10 million, I can buy something that'll fix my twitching. So, yeah.
The best medical
always
treatment.
Take the money.
Really? Yeah. Interesting. I wouldn't take the money. I'd be like, cure me of my twitching.
I don't think the twitching's that bad.
If it impedes their ability to carry out their dream job or their passions in life, then I feel like that's a tough one. Especially if you're used to having a lifestyle where you never had that when you were born, and then you have to adapt to it later on. So much more difficult than being born with that.
It's really not debilitating. It's not like going blind, going deaf, losing limbs, or being like burned. So like everyone sees what your disability is. It's just, you know, people don't even know until I'm talking to you.
Hmm.
You know, and really staring at you. I think I'll take my 10 million.
I get that. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I think there's just a lot worse that can happen than having twitches.
It's true. There are
people
a
have
lot
Tourette's
worse.
Have twitches, I don't know. And they're living with it. So
yeah, but it's just the seizures that I feel like that would be freaky, especially if you're like driving. Then you can't really drive anymore because it impacts your safety.
$10 million at least, like only probably a million everywhere. Has to go into fixing it. You can find someone. $1 million,
maybe actually.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I should have come with a lower amount. Yeah. $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, you already said 10 million.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't got that much time. So let's get into predictions.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I have any.
You're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. I for sure think that we're going to find out the doctor's in cahoots with CTS.
Oh, if that's true. I mean, I was thinking that this whole episode, but I'll be so upset because I really believed his. He seems so genuine, like he really does care about the girls. And he had dinner with Molly and Billy. But I would believe it, too.
If politicians are bought, who's to say doctors aren't bought? I mean, case in point, Michael Jackson's doctor, Claude Ranieri.
First thing I thought of.
Seriously. Like,
he just seems so genuine, this one. Maybe he's a great actor. Maybe he's acting like he's a great actor. Oh, but I believed him.
I would not put it past CTS or him.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe he's getting $10 million.
Maybe. And so he'll do anything. Oh, gosh.
So either way, he'll cure the no.
I had a question. Oh, man, we are really out of time.
Oh, also about, like, was your question about Joanna and her, like, quitting? Is she going to permanently quit?
Yes. Well, I mean, she said the case is done. She's leaving. Bye, Luna. Bye, Billy.
I don't get
no
it,
no romance.
Though. How is the case done? Like, that's what I was so confused about. Why is it done? Because she can't win?
Because Molly's team, the doctor, she just wants to be cured so she has no Molly, no sad story. And there's no proof that it is the toxins. And this doctor is the one thing that's kind of proving that it's the conversion disorder because Molly stopped twitching after just like a simple 10 minutes with him. And so they believe that's it.
They need to figure out what is causing the twitching in the first place. Like, what is going on neurologically that is triggering the twitching? Because sometimes, like, I feel like we keep thinking it happens haphazardly. Does it only happen when they're stressed, or does it happen when they're thinking about something very specific, or does it happen when they're trying to do something physical and they can't carry out that function, or does it happen out of nowhere? Like, I want to know, in what situations does the twitching arise? Because up until this point, it's always seemed like the twitching is uncontrollable and that it happens haphazardly.
Yeah.
Does it?
It seems that way. I think they're acting as if it is that way. The only time it is controlled is with this doctor. So, but I just, my very generic prediction is that we will get answers next week. I think we will find out who is actually attacking, who was sent to attack Joanna, and who's been doing all this mischief. So that's my generic prediction.
Do you know what I love? I love the fact that even though she was, like, even though Joanna was, like, so traumatized by that, she's so strong that even after that attack happened, she runs outside immediately to get the license plate number. Know. And she's like,
she thinks quickly.
1735, whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know if I could do that.
I don't think so.
I would be shell-shocked.
I would have been so terrified. She, after he came out the shower, she was like, hello? But anyways, Joanne has already proven that she is pretty badass. So
I think we'll get
some answers next week.
Who do you think that guy is?
I don't know. We kind of saw his face too. I'm not sure. But this is we got. But see, now we're warming up. We're into it now.
Yeah.
But guys, let us know what you think. Your predictions, your wild theories. I don't care how crazy they are. We want to know. And you can find me on Twitter at Paris Rose TV or Instagram at Paris Rose with two R's. Let me know your thoughts. Mina, where can they find you?
Hey guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. You can slide into my DMs at Mina Makes Magic.
All right, see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.